This is Jerry G. Martin. Welcome to today's broadcast. We've been bringing you messages on family relationships. We've been talking to singles, and now we're talking to married couples. We are sharing a message today called The Covenant of Marriage. Marriage is more than a contract. It is a covenant between husband, wife, and God. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, it is God who ordained marriage, and He is looking at how we govern our marriage relationship. I want you to come and go with us today as we continue to share these messages. Invite a friend to listen in for the rest of the month so that their relationship can be enriched as well. Now come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word. Marriages are more challenged today than any time in human history. In almost any audience, it doesn't matter where you go, doesn't matter what city, what state, or wherever you are today, in almost any audience, whether it's in a church or school or secular or wherever, you are, I guarantee you, within arm's length of someone who was once married and now divorced. You're in arm's length of someone who's having some difficulty in their marriage relationship. Over the last 50 years, the divorce rate has increased more than 700%. Now, one of every two couples, it seems, get a divorce. And almost half the children in America are raised in a single-parent home. These statistics are made worse. A few years ago, they had what the courts called a no-fault divorce. I said, no fault? Divorce is always somebody's fault. Somebody had some influence in it happening. Even if you made the wrong decision to begin with, it's your fault. You know, then they have now what we call drive-through divorces. You don't have to go to divorce court like you used to have to go years and years ago and prove that this ain't working. You can drive through and get you a microwave divorce. Just wave at the judge and he'll stamp it. Divorce made easy. I'm not going to spend a lot of my time today talking about divorce, but I'm going to talk about marriage because marriage comes before divorce. If you didn't start out right, you might not end up right. So I want to talk to you about the covenant of marriage, the covenant of marriage. And I want to start with the scripture that we don't hear too often, and it's in the book of Malachi, chapter 2. The book of Malachi, chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. In the book of Malachi, it's a very interesting book because you have God responding to His people that are crying out to Him. Throughout the entire book, God is talking to Himself, but He's saying to Himself what the people are saying to Him, and then God is responding. God is talking here, and God tells them in verse 13, He says, "And another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears, and you weep and wail because He no longer pays attention to your offerings or accept them with pleasure from your hands." And then God says to them, "You ask why?" And then He answers it. "It is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant." If your marriage is going to be one that will last, it is important that you understand the agreement that you will make if you're unmarried, or the agreement that you have made. And it's good that you would understand that before you get into that marriage relationship. You know, at this church, before we conduct a marriage, we require people to come and sit down with us so we can talk to them about their marriage, impending marriage, and we can give them some good information to make that decision. So we say, before you get married, here are some things you really need to look at, because there are some biblical purposes for marriage. We want to be sure you understand God's purpose for marriage, not your reason for wanting to get married. There are some godly reasons to get married, and then there are just some reasons to get married, and there are some poor reasons to get married. It's not a good reason to get married just to get out the house. That's not a good reason just to get married, just so you can leave home. Now, if somebody's holding a shotgun on you, that's a good reason to get married. But it's not a godly reason to get married. In the text, in the book of Malachi, we have God responding to the cry of his people. And he says, they said, Lord, why are you not paying attention to us when we pray? Why aren't you accepting our offering? Why aren't you moving for me when I'm trying to get some things done? And God answers that question with what seems to be an unrelated response. God responds that he has a problem with what he observes in the relationship between the husband and the wife. He says, I got a problem. In verse 14, he says, it is because the Lord is acting as a witness between you and your wife, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Now notice the language God used to describe the marriage. He says it is a covenant. We've heard most marriages referred to as a contract. God says it's more than a contract. It's a covenant. Because people will tell you contracts are made to be broken. What's the difference between a contract and a covenant? A contract is an agreement between parties where terms and conditions are identified and mutually accepted. A contract just has to be signed by both parties. And both parties are legally bound to the contract as long as the terms and the conditions of the contract are met. And some contracts have an expiration date and it expires and you are no longer obligated to the contract if you have fulfilled your part of it. If a 30-year mortgage is a contract with the mortgage company. As long as you pay your bills, you're through after 30 years. Your contractual arrangements have been met. The contract also offers something that benefits both parties. And in a contract, you don't have to like the party that you're dealing with. You just have to like the deal. You don't have to like the party. You don't have to like the mortgage company. You just have to like the deal enough to sign it. Remember, how many people bought a house in here before? Do you remember the real estate agent or remember their name or the title company person who processed the paperwork who you signed the contract with? Probably have no idea who that is. You don't have to know them or like them. You just signed the deal. That's a contract. What was the name of the person who signed your deal when you bought that last automobile? Do you know them? No, but you signed the deal with them. That's a contract. That's not a relationship. It's a contract. So a covenant is contractual, but it has greater significance than a contract. A covenant is tied to relationship. A covenant agreement ties the parties together as long as they are alive. That's what a covenant was. When you look biblically at the covenants, they were irrevocable. Don't you know people thought long and hard before they got into a covenant relationship? Because they said, once I get in this thing, I can't get out. I believe that if people had that view before they got married, that once I get in, I can't get out, they would think long and hard before they get married to somebody. But how many people have said, you know, if this doesn't work out, I can always do what? Get a divorce if it doesn't work out. They say that before they get married. They're looking at the person and thinking, if this don't work out, I can always get a divorce. But if you have to think that about someone before you get married, don't marry them. In fact, it's never too late to get out of the marriage preparation and plans. I told someone, if you're walking down the aisle and change your mind, just head for the side door. We'll still eat the cake. It's not going to hurt you. You'll be embarrassed. You'll feel bad for a few days, but you'll be all right. That's better than coming up the aisle all the way to the altar and saying to yourself, I know I shouldn't be doing this. People have done that. And they said, and as soon as I said I do, I knew it was wrong. And it was wrong for me. That's what the exit doors are for. Just march right on out the door majestically, just like you're supposed to be going, and go right on out the door. I won't say anything. I will just say, Father, we pray over these that have come today, and we dismiss them in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you can always come back and say, you know, I got scared, and I think I'll do it later. That's okay. That's better than getting in it. So I got all those people that's too bad, because they're not going to be around when you're suffering. But you don't know how much I spent for that. That's going to be a small price to pay. Yeah. We'll still eat the cake. I'm going to leave there, go right to the reception. We have to think about covenant. See, we're not thinking covenant, we're thinking contract. And if we think that this is something I can't get out of, then we'll be a little bit more careful before we get into it. It was God himself who officiated the first marriage covenant, and marriage was his idea. I want to look at that, and I want to show you that there are three reasons and three purposes that God instituted marriage. The first purpose that God instituted marriage, this is the biblical reason for marriage, and one of the first purposes is for procreation, for increase, to increase mankind. One of the first things he spoke to Adam and Eve was to be fruitful and multiply. That was to have children, to be fruitful and multiply. Some of y'all just added, but y'all haven't multiplied yet. You want to have one, because one is too many. They're getting in my way. But we got to multiply. I told somebody the other day, you know, they wanted to have 7 or 8 children. I said, go and have 7 or 8. How can you feed that many? You can feed them. My mom fed 8, her mother fed 16, and her mother's mother fed 18. You can make it. Now, you can't take them all out to McDonald's to eat. You're going to have to get a big pot of pinto beans and some cornbread. You can't be running to these fad food places talking about we can't make it. You're going to have to do like we used to do. Big pot of greens, some corn and potatoes. You got to get back to the basics. You can't go down to McDonald's and Fridays and everything with 18 kids and try to feed them. Amen. But you can make it. So he said, be fruitful and multiply. In fact, look at Malachi chapter 2:15. Has not God made them one in flesh and spirit, and they are his? And his scripture says, and why one? Because he is seeking a godly offspring. God is looking for an offspring, and a godly offspring, and a godly offspring in the context of the marriage family. And one of the reasons the enemy attacks families so much is so that it can be fractured and broken up, and so that there will not be godly offspring. There'll be offspring, but there won't be godly offspring. Because it's more difficult to raise children up in the church when they don't have a father and a mother in the home. As soon as that boy get 14, with mom, he ain't gonna want to go to church. We were doing some studies on evangelism one time, and I ran across this statistic that said, you know, when you go out and you do evangelism work, you go out to apartments, a lot of people say, let's go get the children, and we get the children, we can get the parents. This study said, when children come to the church and you do that, you have about a 20% chance of getting the mother to come. And then when you get the mother to come, if she's married, you have maybe about another 20% chance of getting the father to come. But when you go out and get men to come to the church, you have about an 80% chance of getting a wife and the children. And if you look around in a church, there are very few married men who attend church whose wives doesn't come. But there are a lot of wives who attend church whose husband doesn't come. So God is looking for a godly offspring. If you would survey the men that are in prison, or even the women that are in prison, and ask how many came from a healthy home. And you see a large number of them came from broken families, unhealthy homes. So the battle is not for you per se, it is for your children. God is looking after the next generation. He says, I got to keep this thing going. And the devil is looking after the next generation too. If he can tear your house up, he can tear your family up. In our culture, we're so self-centered about me and my happiness that we'll let everything else go. So the first thing God wanted was procreation. The second thing God was said the purpose for marriage is partnership. In Genesis chapter 2, 18, the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. It is not good for the man to be alone. And I will make a helper suitable for him. Now notice, it was God who said, it's not good for man to be alone. It wasn't Adam. Adam didn't even catch on that he had a problem. Well, you just can't miss what you never had. But God says that he doesn't know that he's incomplete. He doesn't know that he's all alone. He says, it is not good for man to be all alone. All alone means all one. Two words, all one. He's all one within himself. He thinks he's got everything that he needs, all self-sufficient. He can do it all by himself. But God said, the brother needs some help. Come on, brother, say, I need some help. See, the brother don't even know he needs some help. And God says, I'm making a helper for him. And so don't look at our wives when she try to help us. She'll try to help us. Say, straighten your tie. When you walk out the house, she'll say, that don't match. She's helping. Oh, God, she's helping. The brother needs some help. That's what God said. The brother needs some help. He says, I will make a helper for him. I will make a partner for him. And the Bible says in verse 21, so the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. God said, I don't even want you watching this. While he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to him. He brought her to the man. He brought a woman to the man. And God said, this is a helper who is suitable, who is fit, who is appropriate, who is designed for man. She's suitable. She's fit. So I want you to know that God put a woman with a man as a suitable helper, a woman with a man. Not a man with a man. He did not put a woman with a woman and say she is suitable. He didn't design them to even fit. The engineering was made for a man and a woman to fit. All the design, all the plumbing was for them to fit. God said, I'm going to make this thing fit. So a man doesn't fit with a man. Somebody said, you need to be tolerant. We're tolerant. But it just doesn't fit. God didn't design it to fit. He didn't design two women to fit. Bumper to bumper. Not even physically and not emotionally. I hate to see a man cry. Oh, I'm just so emotional. I had a pastor one time. Every time I was talking to him, he was just crying about stuff going on. I said, man, you need to go to Woman Dog Loose, look like to me. Why are you whining? Be a man. That doesn't mean we can't be sensitive, but, you know, I hate to see a man wimping around. I hate to see him walking funny. I said, bro, you better straighten up there, Doc. But God designed them. He says, I want to make this thing so it's suitable and it's fit. and because they're going to be partners and partnerships, and they're going to have to work together, and everything is going to have to work together. They're going to have to reproduce. All of these has to work together. And the Bible said God designed her, God built her as a partner for him. He built her emotionally. He took the man's rib out and he built her out of him so that she's like him in a lot of ways. And then he made her different and he brought her to him to be fit, to be a partner, to be a balance. And he said, you can be all complete now because you have someone who will balance you off. That's the purpose for marriage, to get somebody to balance you off. Don't be in anxiety because your spouse think differently than you, because they're designed to think differently than you. Because you're not the same. But both of you are supposed to be able to look at all kinds of directions and get everything together if you back to back taking care of business. Don't fight the difference. Just understand that God made you different, but he made you so you can fit. You know, my wife has a keen sense of smell. Boy, she can smell something funny. Ooh, I smell something funny. I said, I don't smell anything. But I sure can hear. I said, did you hear that noise? She said, I don't hear anything. But don't mess with us. We'll smell and hear. Come on, baby. Let's go find out what that is. You hear? No, can you smell it? So it's procreation, number one. Partnership, number two. And third, it is a picture to illustrate the Christ relationship to the church. The church is the bride. Christ is the bridegroom. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. It's a picture of the church, our marriage relationship. So we are procreationists, we're partners, and we are a picture of Christ. So when God wanted to form a union between a man and a woman, he established a three-way agreement between himself, between the man, and the woman, and this is the covenant agreement, the covenant relationship called marriage. It is a three-way agreement, not a two-way agreement. Jesus mentioned this arrangement in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, when he said, haven't you read? At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two shall become one. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate.
We are living in very critical times in our culture. We can use all the help we can get with our marriage and family relationships. This is Jerry G. Martin, and thank you again for listening to our broadcast. Hopefully, we are shedding some light and the Word of God that will help all of us to be better husbands, be better wives, to be better children, to be better parents. God wants a healthy and whole family. You can go to our podcast and hear today's message as well as previous messages. Just go to The Light of the World Daily, Light of the World Daily, Jerry G. Martin, and you can hear this broadcast again, and you can share it with someone that you think might benefit from it. God wants to reach you where you are, and we're here to help you. I don't know what you're going through. You may be in a marriage that's rocky and failing. God is able to help. We're standing by this month to pray for every person who would like prayer for their marriage and family relationship. Call us at this number, 281-964-1393. Again, that's 281-964-1393. You can either leave a prayer request or one of our prayer team members will join you in prayer. We believe God is able to help us through every trial and every situation. Join us at lowcf.org for our Sunday online services at 10 a.m. Again, that's lowcf.org. or you can join us in person at 16161 Old Humble Road. Again, that's 16161 Old Humble Road, 10 o'clock Sunday mornings. Now, for the light of the world, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.